Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Settle down, ladies and gentlemen. We have returned. It's the Football Ramble! Woohoo! And we're in your ears.
The what ramble?
The Football Ramble.
Football.
Exactly.
It seems like such a long time ago.
My giddy aunt. The Euros are a mere distant memory. But my name is still Marcus, and I've got Pete with me. Luke, Pete.
Jack. All right.
Yeah. And Jim, as always, we send him up to Edinburgh for the month of August, so you can get used to us before we introduce you back to him.
It's rehab.
Yeah, we don't like August, Jim. He comes out in sores for some reason. It's horrible.
Can't be rather adult males.
But it's good to see you again, listeners. We're going to start the show with the simple question of what would you like to see happen this season? But just one thing, Pete, one thing.
My kind of major hope is kind of something that I alluded to about 5 seconds ago, is that the Olympics doesn't overshadow what is still a fine, fine Premier League. And let us not forget how the end of the Premier League and the other the other leagues around the world finished last season, because there was a lot of very exciting football played, and the Euros were very good as well. So that's what I want to see.
Okay.
Right. It's a good shout, because as you said, it's been so much sport. It's been a fiesta of sport.
One of the great sporting years.
It's been amazing. It has been amazing.
But like Rob Beasley and the Sun did like a bit of a hatchet job on the Premier League and the Community Shield in particular, and I thought, you know what? It's completely different. It's an amateur competition. Most of the competitors in the Olympics. I don't think it's, if Sky or even the Sun, if News International want to splash some cash Athletics way, feel free. But I don't think attacking our national pastime is really.
I think there's a lot of comparisons can be made, but the comparisons are limited, as you say. And a friend of mine made me laugh. He said people keep saying, "Oh, why is there so much money in football? Why is there not any money in long jump?" So, when do you go and watch long jump? Get yourself down to Crystal Palace.
And, I just think, obviously there are several athletes, obviously at the very top end, like Bolt, who are very wealthy and stuff like that, but at the same time, it's clear they're competing for the sake of competing. They're competing because they want to be the best, not because they've had this sort of vested interest financially in it. It was good to see. But at the same time, we love the Premier League and football in general as well, for different reasons.
The Olympics has been magnificent, though.
Yeah, but it's good that there was football at the Olympics, but I didn't really get that into it. I watched it for...
No, but I treated it very much as I'm watching football at the Olympics, not football, you know. But anyway, look, what was your one?
Well, leading on from that, I was actually lucky enough to be at the women's football final.
Oh, yeah.
Which was
USA. I saw GB ladies play Brazil. Brilliant.
Oh, did you?
Absolutely brilliant.
This was USA versus Japan, as you probably know. Brilliant. It was a brilliant game. Woodwell, if it was hit about five times.
Hope Solo. What a name.
What a save. Is that a save?
Yeah. It's close.
Brilliant, yeah. Anyway, what I was going to mention
was... She is beautiful.
Yes, she is. And I'd like to see more of her.
Proper talks. It's got proper potty mouth as well, which is brilliant.
Really?
You like that, do you? Because you're a northerner. You like that.
Come on.
What I was going to say was, at the end of the game, as I'm sure you've all seen in the press, Sepp Blatter got the most almighty cacophony of boos.
Did you give it some?
Oh, big time.
Yes. Yeah.
But it worked, because at the men's final,
which I was at,
he wasn't there, was he? So the trick for this season, wherever you see Blatter, boo him and he won't turn up again.
Wherever you see anyone,
boo them. Unless
they've been a victim of a racist attack.
Don't do that. So Blatter. Blanter?
No.
Okay.
Booter.
My thing this season, I would like to see poor old Andy Carroll. He's been where's he going to play? Nobody seems to sort of want him, or those who want him can't afford him. I want to see him finish top scorer and not one of the goals scored with his head.
An ambitious early shot.
And his left peg, everything on his left.
Yeah.
Well, he's playing pre-season matches. I don't see why he wouldn't be employed at some point.
True. Well, we'll talk about Liverpool in a bit. Let's have a little chat about Team GB. I saw them against the UAE.
Yeah.
Sturridge with a lovely chip.
Yeah, it was a great finish, that.
Yeah. What did we think of the whole UAE experiment, would you call it, Pete?
What, the Team GB experiment?
Yeah. What do you reckon?
It had the air of something quite temporary.
Yep.
Which obviously it was. It's hard to see it being utilised again because, I mean,
they're not going to want to qualify.
But doesn't Stuart,
anything, exactly.
doesn't Stuart Pearce alone have the air of something quite temporary?
Stuart Pearce is mad. He's mad as a nail, Stuart Pearce. He's just like, he just carries on regardless, doesn't he?
It's kind of to be admired.
I read a rumour today that there's a new some new role being employed for football, like technical, whatever it is.
He'll take it.
Yeah, he's apparently, as people say, he's applied for it. Stop applying for things, Stuart Pearce. But aside from all the political things around the Scottish FA and the Welsh FA, all that sort of thing, as Pete just said, it's very difficult to imagine them finding time to qualify for another one in Rio, for example. So it was always going to be quite temporary.
Yeah.
I think some of the players did themselves great credit, actually.
Very enjoyable. It was useful to... at the end of the day, it was tournament football, which a lot of these young lads and lasses wouldn't necessarily...
Well, it's the size of the Euros, 16 teams for the men's competition. And
the female game, Carney and Horton. God, they've got some moves. Brilliant.
Which
brilliant
ones, right?
Carney and Horton. Carney and Horton. Two separate players. Carney Horton.
I have to say, one of the best things that happened over the summer was seen at St James's Park during the Olympic football. It was Switzerland versus Gabon. And the English, we love an underdog. And in fact, I would extend that to the whole of Great Britain and Ireland, you know. And clearly, I think the Swiss were putting in some tasty challenges. Mm. And so the locals up there got behind Gabon. And you could hear from the stands, Gabon, 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 Gabon.
Good shout.
I'm glad that song has reared its head nice and early.
A Gary Glitter reference is my favourite thing over the summer.
Yeah. I went to Mexico, Senegal, which would have been Great Britain if they had not won their group.
Yes.
So it was very busy.
Mexico were brilliant.
They were superb.
The final, they were brilliant against Brazil. Yeah.
But the Mexico-Senegal game, they went 2-0 and they were cruising, really. Senegal had a chance or two, but they let Senegal back in. Senegal equalised back to 2-2. It went to extra time.
Yeah.
Mexico blitzed them 4-2 in extra time. I'll tell you, it was excellent. Giovanni Dos Santos.
Yeah. The only player in that whole squad that doesn't play in Mexico, I believe.
Oh, okay, right.
It was nice to see Salcido, a former Fulham player.
Yeah, he played well, actually.
He did play well. And Peralta in the final was excellent against Brazil.
So I saw the Mexico-Brazil highlights, but I didn't see the game. So you were at the game, weren't you?
Yeah, the Mexico were good value. I mean, Brazil nearly got two goals at the end, obviously got the one through Hulk, and it would have been a shame on Mexico.
Yeah.
But they were good value. Brazil just didn't turn up for the final. It was so strange because they wanted the gold so badly.
Yeah.
But it was a classic case of a team of individuals who just didn't click in the final against a proper team. You know,
I thought they do look quite individualistic, actually.
Yeah. I mean, Mexico scored an early goal, which then they could relax. But it was nice for Mexico because often when they go to the big tournaments, they've got decent size, they've got good ball playing players.
They're technically very good.
Yeah, but they just don't have a couple of big names, you know, that'll just... I don't know, a Neymar or something. No, in fact, you use the example when they played England and England won 3-1 at Wembley.
Yeah, that was a robbery, though.
It was a robbery. But England have a couple of players, like a Gerrard or a Rooney or whatever, in that type of friendly atmosphere at Wembley. They can just turn around and bash one in or do something.
Yeah.
And if Mexico just had, you know, the like sort of Hugo Sanchez or somebody like that who could just pop up with something, they'd really make a big impression on tournaments.
Still, it's the first Olympic goal for them as well, isn't it?
In London 2012.
Yeah, no, their first football goal.
Oh, is that right? Okay.
Mexico, I think it was.
My favourite match was USA-Canada in the female
That was excellent. What a game. What a game.
Was it 3-3 until the end of extra time and they scored? Bloody hell.
And last minute of extra time, Alex Morgan scored a header, didn't she, to go through? But I forget the name of the girl who scored the hat-trick for Canada. In the post-match interview, because I saw that at home on telly, the post-match interview, she's like, "Oh, I'm just sorry that we've let everyone down." And I was actually screaming at my telly, "You have not let anyone down!
Never say that!
I'm not hearing that from you. Not today."
Anyway,
I was screaming at the telly so much during the Olympics.
I love it. Pete's request of, "Let's not the Olympics overshadow football." It's a football podcast. We've talked mainly about the Olympics. So we're going to move on to the Community Shield, a.k.a. the big one.
The big one, yeah.
And it was Chelsea 2, Manchester United 3. Ivanovic harshly sent off in
Andy Townsend.
I nearly said Pete Townsend. I've got the closing ceremony. Andy Townsend.
When Andy Townsend said that Ivanovic's red card wasn't sending off, I just sat back in my chair and went, we're back.
Welcome to the new Townsend, same as the old Townsend.
Yeah. The king is dead. The king.
I enjoyed the commentary of the Olympics for every other sport. Generic Jeff Shreves comment.
I didn't see any Jeff Shreves.
No, I'm just saying Ivanovic is getting sent off. You've just been sent off. But City.
Yeah.
Tevez.
Yeah, linking up terrifically well with Aguero.
If he can. Well, it's a big if, but you know what I'm going to say. They'll be a force. Last season without him.
We all know when it comes to Tevez, there's only one box that he's ticking, and that's the motivation and the focus. I mean, everything else is taken care of because he's so good.
Yeah,
just get him on the pitch.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah.
And that goal he scored was amazing. Yeah. It's really funny what he said in the post match interview. He was interviewed in Spanish, and it was translated. And it may have been translated incorrectly, but the translation I read was. And he's got a really... I know he doesn't speak that much, does he? But he's quite mumbly, isn't he? He mumbles everything.
He doesn't speak Spanish very well, according to
translation of what he said was that the interviewer said, were you happy with your goal? And he went, "It was more or less a goal, that's so." Oh, right, okay.
So how do you define a goal?
Exactly, yeah.
That's fine. Yeah, interesting game. Ivanovic definitely sending off for you, Pete.
Yes, because his foot went over the top of the ball. Yep. It was high and it was two-footed and there were studs.
Two-footed high studs over the ball.
Yeah.
You know, put in a headbutt.
As Luke said earlier, all the boxes ticked.
Yeah, yeah. What do you want for a red card?
Could have shouted the N-word at the same time.
Maybe that would have confirmed it for good old Townsend. But yeah, do we read much into the Community Shield?
Lovely finish by Torres.
For
Chelsea.
Shot.
Great little goal. A through matter from Ramirez.
I thought he couldn't score goals, Pete.
He's
already got. He's underway.
I thought the only thing I would say is I thought the keeper went down a little bit early, but it was a very good goal. I think that Chelsea had a couple of players who weren't available. Like Oscar's not around at the moment, and Marine didn't play. But Hazard looked a little bit quiet.
He did, didn't he?
Not necessarily quiet. As far as he wanted to get on the ball a lot, and you could see he wanted to influence the game, but he didn't have his best debut. Do you know what I mean? He wasn't great.
Are we slightly concerned he could go to ground a lot?
Absolutely. I think that would be a concern. But the biggest concern I think for Chelsea with Hazard will possibly be. From what I know of him, the type of character he is, he'll demand to play.
Yeah,
and if he that's fine. Mm-hmm. But if he's not playing that well. And then he starts demanding to play. Di Matteo's going to have a job on his hands because Di Matteo isn't hugely experienced at dealing with big players. I mean, I know they won the Champions League last season, but there's question marks over who was the biggest influence in that dressing room, you know. So it'll be a big test for him. I hope he gets through it because I like Di Matteo, but we'll see.
Hazard's going to be could be a right one. I mean, he's the type of player who, if not playing well, he'll maybe blame others.
Yeah, because the alarm bell started ringing when he announced who he was going to sign for on Twitter. I'm making a big thing of it. This is all about me.
All that Twitter business with him was disgracing. It was quite funny, Pete, when he said, I might have some bad games, you know, so that's probably just what's going to happen. Is he preempting something?
Well, he won't play then. Yeah. But I mean, you know, Community Shield, or Charity Shield, or whatever I want to call it in my mind. Yeah. You know, all bets are off, really. It's either really feisty and really horrible, or it's a little bit.
Man City's goals were all in quick succession. When Hazard said that, I may have some bad games, just reckon Di Matteo was thinking, what's French for loan move?
Thinking, hang on, your agent never said that. Community Shields in a row with 5 goals.
Yeah, not bad, is
just,
it? Yeah.
Just suddenly realised.
Not bad, this shield.
Not bad, these shields. moving on to the Premier League. Man City. Looks as though they've signed Jack Rodwell for $15 million. It's a lot for a substitute.
I was excited about it, and do you know why I was excited about it? Because I thought he might play in a back three as a libero.
What, Jack Rodwell?
Yeah, well, you never know, do you? He's
a well, that's one thing we've got to say with City. There was a back... There's massive goings-on of a back three.
Yeah, well, and there's all sorts of talk, there has been in the later part of the summer, that Mancini has seen teams in Italy play at the back, and he wants to do it.
Totally.
So maybe that's the thing for the European campaign, possibly.
But putting two together, I'm possibly coming up with five, I don't know. Is that why he signed Rodwell? So slot him in there.
Really?
Wow, imagine it.
At that age, like, would you really trust him?
Well, he can't play. He's not going to play ahead of Toure. He's not gonna, I mean, I suppose Toure can play further forward, I suppose. But is he going to get a role in that defensive midfield position?
The player's quote itself was, "The hard work starts today." If I was David Moyes, I'd be like, "Piss off!"
Yeah.
What have you been doing for the last couple of years, you dick?
He's a great footballer, and I say footballer because that's what he is. Yeah. lest we forget, rest in peace. do you really think Sweeper?
I'm just putting it out there.
Okay.
What is the ramble if it's not unsubstantiated rumours and ill-thought-out opinions?
For a minute there,
bad impressions.
I forgot part of what we were all about there. I do worry about Rodwell though going to City. Will he start games? Will he not? I don't know. But it's interesting what you say about the 3-4-3. Well, I should back three. You'd imagine 3-4-3 because of the front line of Tevez and Aguero.
Yeah,
and interchanging with probably David Silva as well.
Mm. Yeah.
That's a lovely front three, isn't it?
I'd love to see him play. I mean, as Pete says, it might just be in European football they'll do that, but I'd like to see him start a three at the back. It's brilliant. It's a sun back three, that is. If you've got Lescott and company and you've got Jack Rodwell sweeping up, spraying the ball around, lovely stuff.
You've sprung that Rodwell on me.
But you did. But listen, I'll tell you one thing I would say, and that's a different situation, but when Mascherano went to Barcelona, everyone thought, where's he going to play? He's not going to play. He plays centre-back all the time for them now.
He does.
It could happen.
He does. That is Mascherano, though.
I know that, yeah.
Yeah. What about Manchester...
There's no Hayden Mullins.
What about the quiet neighbours, Manchester United? They've got Kagawa in, good signing.
Yeah.
Nick Powell from Crewe.
Yeah. We talked a bit about Nick Powell towards the back end last
great
season.
Great goal in the...
Absolutely. He's obviously a huge prospect. I mean, how much he's going to play. But don't forget, we don't know, but don't forget United have got Cleverley back. And Fletcher's been training again, hasn't he?
Oh, has he?
He's been training with the Scotland squad, and so he may be back. And Carrick's obviously there.
I still think RVP on the way as well.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think about RVP?
Well, with Kagawa, you sort of think he's got a goal. He's got a fairly decent goal in their last friendly, I think it was. Was it against Stuttgart? I can't really remember now.
Hamburg.
But, I just went for $1 million Bebe to come back.
Yeah. That's true. Oh, yeah, I forgot about him.
It's a dodgy deal.
Yeah.
But what I meant to ask you about, what do you think about RVP going to United if that happens?
I mean, it's an odd one, isn't it? I mean, I would have thought Van Persie, Arsenal would have made sure if they're going to sell him, he'd go abroad.
But why do you not even need him?
Well, yeah, that as well, because there's the Rooney...
They sometimes go a bit mad sometimes and go, right, yeah, we got money in the pocket, yeah, we'll buy Berbatov and then he can sit on the bench for a bit. You know, it's just,
he does
just
love a bit of strength and depth.
Yeah, but I know Berbatov is a good example, actually. But I
he'll want to play every match, as a difference.
Van Persie will want to play every game, right? He's 29 now.
Would you... I mean...
They've already got players playing this position.
But would he play him... Foot right up top and Rooney in behind.
But he's got Hernandez as well.
And Welbeck.
And at 29, he'll want moon money. He'll want proper.
And he's got injury problems.
Well, that's why I'm a bit stumped. I am quite surprised.
Sure, they'd be much better off either getting a fullback, which they need, or a proper midfield player.
Is Owen still there? That's what
no,
I'm
he's
asking.
Gone.
No, he's a free agent.
He's a free agent. Yeah. Good.
I love that.
He's only going to a club, he's a top Premier League club who is still in Europe, though, apparently, which is why he's still out of a job.
Now he can make that move to Hull, perhaps.
Well, Newcastle can get through the qualifiers.
Would you have him back? Would you have him back? Man United, one of the funnier signings for me was Park Ji-sung going to QPR for Manchester United.
Yeah.
I didn't see that happening.
Well, he's sort of... I think he's sort of been short of his best for a while now, actually. And traditionally, Ferguson always played him in big games, didn't he, because of his engine and that sort of stuff. But I think he just fell a bit short last season, I'd say.
He saw the Olympics and thought, I need to get a bit of London life.
Yeah, a bit of that. QPR have made a lot of signs, actually, haven't they?
They have. Junior Hoylett's a decent one. Yeah. I thought Rob Green, Ryan Nelson, Andrew
Johnson.
Where's
all this money? Jesus.
Yeah,
I know they spent big. They spent big in January. They're spending big again.
Yeah.
They signed up to a three-year. And, like, you forget, Tarap's only 22. It's like, bloody hell, he's got,
Yeah, a couple of those players like Hoylett and Nelson Hughes would have
Fabio, Brazilian,
would have worked with the Blackburn. So I mean, it sort of makes a bit of sense from that.
Fernandez came out and sort of said it's important not to throw money at the game. It's like, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Throw it at the dressing room instead.
You haven't a good old go at it.
Indeed, Liverpool have bought Joe Allen for $15 million. Mm. Obviously, Brendan Rodgers in charge now, previously of Swansea. Fabio Barini brought in from Roma, but they've had a little bit of not a clear out. Too strong a word, but Dirk Kuyt's gone. I never thought he would.
Yeah, he's gone in front of Butcher.
I thought he'd be there forever. Aquilani finally, Fabio Aurelio, Maxi Rodriguez, and Craig Bellamy. Bellamy's gone back to Cardiff City.
That's about as clear outy as a clear out gets, I think.
Do you think
Okay, fair enough.
It's a good sign for Liverpool because it means that Brendan Rodgers is being fully backed.
Joe Allen, you mean?
You just look at the way that Rodgers has been given. He seems to have been given a sort of carte blanche to do what he wants, and the evidence for that is the players you've just talked about. He's cleared out players that he doesn't fancy, which he's been given the power to do that, which is great. Also, I mean, he's clearly been given the green light to offload Andy Carroll if he wants to. And if you think politically, that is a massive shout.
It really is.
£35 million quid, however many, or 18 months ago, whatever it was.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't be surprised if in another sort of universe, John Henry or whoever's in charge at Liverpool said to Rodgers, look, you can't really get rid of Andy Carroll because of this amount of money, because politically it would look stupid.
Did you see that header against Sweden?
Yeah.
But especially as he's bringing in players like Joe Allen, or he's brought in John at 22, yeah. 15 million. Mm. Carroll's not a Rodgers player. But Andy Carroll's the same age and twice as expensive. You know, why not just keep him, for crying out loud?
Yeah.
But as I said before, he's played in a couple of the friendlies.
But do you think, Pete, though, that the way
and
Brendan
scored?
Yeah.
As well,
Brendan Rodgers obviously. It was well documented how they played at Swansea last season. You would imagine he would want to bring in that kind of style at Liverpool. Would he worry, though, if Carroll was in the team, there would just be that British tendency to just knock it up to him?
Just tell your players, don't do that.
Yeah, well,
and force him to play, force him to use his left foot, which he's brilliant at.
Yeah.
And if there is an header going, he'll knock it in.
Well, yeah, I suppose there's ways of doing it. I mean, I remember John
header going. Love it. Any headers around? I'm in the market for one.
Yeah. Well, Jean Tigana, when he was in charge at Fulham, I can't remember who it was. Maybe it was the goalkeeper or a centre back, but they basically knocked. So maybe it was a goalkeeper from a by kick or a centre back knocked it long. Find him.
Yeah, no, I heard that. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
nice to see.
Maybe that's how Liverpool will get their money back. off the players. They're going to fund Carroll's.
It was nice to see. I think Carroll, the match that he scored in was Leverkusen, and Sammy Hippie is
managing there, which I thought
was really nice.
Yeah,
lovely stuff. And it's Swansea, of course. Michael Laudrup's at the helm. Now, I know he's been there for a little while, but Michael Laudrup at Swansea.
Huge!
Michael Laudrup.
This is why it's the greatest game in the world.
I'll tell you what, Michael Laudrup at Swansea is a huge gamble.
Yeah, but I'm saying, 5 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, Michael Laudrup at Swansea is fantastic.
The Barcelona of Wales.
Yeah. But you know, a few years on now, it's not that ridiculous. It kind of makes sense, really.
You know that you said the Barcelona of Wales. I've probably told you this before, but when I was at uni, I interviewed Sam Haman when he was owner of Cardiff. And he said to me, completely seriously, I've taken over Cardiff because I've genuinely believe they're the Barcelona of Northern Europe.
You see, you said Wales, he said Northern Europe.
Northern Europe.
I've got it on tape as well.
That's huge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing. But Swansea, the thing about Laudrup is it's very exciting for us who don't support Swansea. And actually, no, to be honest, it probably is exciting for Swansea fans as well. Mm. But Laudrup, as a phenomenal player, you know, arguably one of the great, he's the greatest player of the 90s. You know, he's done everything in the game. But his managerial record, he doesn't stick around long normally, and sometimes, I mean, I remember that, I forget what club it was now, but he was announced to go manage a club, quite a big club as well, and it was announced and he reneged on it. They couldn't agree a deal, and then he didn't think twice, he just left. And the other clubs he's managed, he's only been there like, he's at Spartak Moscow for a short amount of time, he's been at Getafe for a short amount of time as well. So it's a big gamble. But the encouraging thing for Swansea is obviously that he will play nice football, which he has always done.
Yeah.
And he's signed players like Michu, who's decent. He's a goal-scoring midfield player, you know, who's done well. And he also signed a player called Chico, who I've never really seen play, centre-back. Yeah. I genuinely hope it is Chico. It's Chico time.
Right, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Thanks for reminding me.
No worries. How did you forget about that?
They didn't get Sigurdsson, though. Spurs got him.
Mm.
Mm. That was a coup.
Yeah, I sort of thought that he'd go work with Rodgers again.
Yeah. Well, he's going to work for AVB, who's at Spurs. Yeah.
It's going to be a funny season, isn't it? AVB there, Swansea.
Is this the team AVB perhaps wanted at Chelsea, you know, slightly younger side, a bit more pacey?
I think it's a good fit.
Yeah.
I think it's as good a fit as Chelsea was a bad one, actually. Because Levy will be patient with him. He needs a project. He'll be given one.
Yeah.
He'll be back in the transfer market. I mean, let's talk, they're going to sign Jan Mavilla today, which is massive.
Yeah. Well, they got Vertonghen as well, yeah, which is a decent sign.
I like Vertonghen.
And what about Modric, Pete? Has that annoyed you over the Olympics was a welcome distraction from Luka Modric alone.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. What, I mean, what is going on with that man, exactly?
And I love that...
No, really, I've not heard.
Well, I loved it that... They got Redknapp to comment on it, and he was going, "Wow, it's like Harry, piss off, mate."
He was driving around in this car, just talking to anyone.
Yeah, lapping Stratford.
He chucked his hat into the ring for the old Russia job, didn't he, Redknapp as well?
No, I don't think he did. I think he was on the list.
Okay, right.
It's a long commute from the south coast.
Yeah, no, yeah.
I did quite fancy him to go to the Middle East, maybe Redknapp, but as he won't move from Sandbanks.
Well, El Diego was given a private jet, so it was good enough for him.
That's true. Well, El Diego's out of a job. That was the big story of the summer, of course. Yeah. But perhaps more on him later. Arsenal, the North London rivals. Cazorla.
For me, Arsenal, and I'm fully prepared for this to come back and bite me on the arse, as is a ramble tradition.
Tweets at the ready.
Yeah. I think they've done the best business of the summer, actually.
Do you know what?
And when it comes to biting on the arse, I remember the World Cup Fallout podcast.
Oh, yeah. The Euros.
You've done
another one.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, well, the World Cup podcast wasn't much better, to be fair.
I was going to predict.
For either of us.
Yeah, we got there in the end between us. Cazorla's a great, great signing, and obviously they've got Giroud and Podolski.
It just with the Cazorla thing, it just reassures me, and it should reassure Arsenal fans as well, that he's really good. That Wenger sees a player might be available, and he's completely convinced of his quality, which he should be, because he's world class, and he's straight in there, bang.
Why has no one else gone for him? Do you think everyone's been distracted?
By the
Olympics. No, do you think, like you say, Wenger spotted him and said thank you very much, whereas perhaps the other sides, they've maybe been caught up in this Eden Hazard business and all the other sort of stuff, and they're scrambling around for the players who the media are shouting about.
Well, possibly Wenger's got decent contacts there. But the thing with Cazorla is, I firmly believe he was the best player in Spain outside the top two last season. He's a world class player. Going forward, he can create things, he can score goals from long range, he's amazing. And not only that, because of Malaga's sort of rapid descent into financial turmoil, which seemed to happen a couple of weeks ago, they managed to get him for less than Malaga signed him for.
It's incredible, isn't it?
Yeah, so Malaga signed for about 21 million, whatever it was.
What was the title they got him? Was it 12?
No, say again, sorry?
Arsenal, that was 16.
About 16 million, 16, you actually got him for cheaper, which is amazing.
Yeah.
You've also got the league and top striker as well, so, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah, Giroud.
And Podolski.
With
Podolski, do you not think that you're just buying class? He's just so much experience. He knows what he's doing. He's got over 100 international caps.
True, but he does have his critics, though.
Okay, yeah, fair enough.
But which I was quite surprised to hear, because I thought that was quite an exciting signing from Arsenal's point of view.
Scored a couple against his old club in a friendly, didn't he, last week?
And Steve Bould is defensive coach, so, you know.
What more do you want?
Another fine signing. Did you see the quote from... Arsene Wenger talking about, you know, the difficulties with RVP and other things. He says, when I go to hell one day, it will be less painful for me than for you because I'm used to suffering. Bloody hell.
A bit melodramatic.
Oh, no. Write it on a tattoo, fella.
Yeah.
It'll a bitch.
You thought about starting an emo band? there's talk they might be able to convince Van Persie to stay. I mean, if I was Van Persie and I saw those signs they made, I'd give it another crack.
But if you get the terms, you know.
It's funny because
like, football.
People say, what about the fans? He'll score a couple of goals and that'll be the end of that.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the way it goes.
Same with Tevez, same with everyone else.
He got a bad reception, didn't he?
If Tevez is all right at City now, you know. Yeah. What about the promoted sides? Reading have been doing quite a bit of business. Gunter and McCleary from Forest, not bad signings. The Pog.
Feed him.
He's going. Danny Guthrie, I thought, was not a bad signing.
Have they also signed Mariappa from Watford?
Well, they have, decent player. And Nicky Shorey?
Yeah.
Yeah, as you just said, Guthrie had a really, really good second half of the season. He sort of came in and patched
quite a utility man. He can be.
Why is Guthrie gone?
I think he wants to be a Premier League footballer.
I think Reading could do all right.
He wants a bit of Reading life. What do we think of the promoted side? Southampton, West Ham, and Reading. Big Sam's back with West Ham.
I think West Ham will be all right, to be honest.
Do you think?
Spent a bit of cash.
Yeah. Reading, Southampton.
I think Reading will do okay. I really rate Ryan McDermott.
Will we see Ricky Lambert celebrate?
Well, I was actually a couple of my friends, obviously being from where I'm from, I've got a few mates who support the other lot, And they were saying that Lambert was a bit off the pace pre-season. I'm not sure if he's going to make that much of an impact.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens. I mean, you get the impression with Lambert, although he's been decent and he's scored everywhere he's gone, there's got to be some sort of ceiling to his ability, the type of player he is.
Yeah.
But then having said that, Grant Holt did well last season. So yeah, we never know. But I mean, I've just heard on the grapevine. Obviously, I've not really been taken in Southampton pre-season games.
Have you not?
No, I've had stuff on at Pompey.
Oh, right.
But there's a chance he may not have an impact this season, I don't think.
Well, we shall wait and see. The opening day is this weekend, and we're ruddy looking forward to it.
Yes.
Indeed we are. So. And the Championship, of course, will be kicking off soon. And Gianfranco Zola's back.
Yeah.
With Watford. I thought there was going to be a bit of an Italian revolution. There was talk of Inzaghi going there, wasn't there, at one point? And I thought, at 38, mate, it's not time to be starting in English football.
No. Imagine how much you get battered around in the Championship.
Oh, League Two would have been brilliant. Just, if he'd have gone to League Two, can you imagine?
But it's an interesting little Watford Italian tie-up.
You'd have to fold his legs away,
isn't it? Little Italian sort of tie-up. Interesting to see.
Yeah, it is.
I like Zola. I think he's got a potential to be a really good manager. So I'm pleased he's back in the game.
Manuel Almunia.
Yeah, he's
at Watford as well.
And they won, which is brilliant. 1-0.
Yeah. There you go. I did like this one from Crystal Palace, that comedian Eddie Izzard has become an associate director of the club.
Yeah.
And I love the quote he said, "All I really want is for Crystal Palace to win every game from now until the end of time."
Yeah, I heard that on Five Live. I interviewed him. Yeah, very funny. I didn't know he was into football, actually, Izzard.
Yeah, no, neither did I. Yeah. A massive Palace fan.
Yeah, okay, right.
Really big. So
no one's perfect.
You see that Juff has gone to Leeds under Warnock.
He's actually gone, hasn't he?
Colin.
There was two.
Is he going to have sewer rat on the back of his shirt? Do you remember that? He's a sewer rat.
And Juff came back with, "Who is he? Who is this Warnock?" He is not Wenger. He is not. The best thing was in that sort of quote, he said, "He is not Wenger. He's not Ferguson. He is not Sam Allardyce."
He loves Big Sam on Juffy. And Sam Allardyce calls him Juffy, doesn't he? Juffy.
Juffy. Leeds, yeah. Well done to them. Getting El Hadji Albert Juff back into football. Championship will always be good.
Yeah.
It's always good. It's always exciting.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it, ladies and gentlemen. No. That league's fine. League One, though.
Yeah.
With Portsmouth is the big story over the summer. Oh, dear, oh, dear.
You've received your annual handicap.
Yeah, it is like a golf handicap, isn't it? Minus 10 points.
You're that awesome.
Yeah. Give you a point again. But I'm just pleased that we're still knocking about.
Well, it was really touch and go, wasn't it?
Yeah, but we've got a sort of squad made up of sort of trialists and sort of academy players at the moment. But I've been told that whatever happens, because the ownership thing still isn't sorted out at the time of recording, but whatever happens, the administrator said there's going to be players in place for the first game of the season, so we'll see.
Liam Lawrence was the last senior.
Last at the door, yeah. He actually offered to reduce his wages quite considerably to stick around. I think
he's been quite a good servant, hasn't he?
Yeah, yes. But yeah, it can.
James is not a bad player as well.
I think he's decent, yeah. At League One level, I mean, he'd be decent,
he'd be clean up, wouldn't he? Before we leave England, we're going to go to the FA Cup. It's preliminary round time. And the experiment that is Wembley FC.
Do the listeners know that much about how unreported has this been? I mean, because basically Wembley FC have sort of reinvented themselves with Terry Venables involved, and they've signed loads of sort of old legends, haven't they, for a limited amount of time to play in the FA Cup.
Ray
Parler, right?
Graham Lasso, Brian McBride, Martin Keown and Claudio Caniggia.
And they played their first FA Cup game against, who was it, Langford?
Langford. They won 3-2. Wembley FC play in the Combined Counties Premier Division, which is 8 tiers below the Premier League. Brian McBride and Claudio Caniggia just started up front.
And Caniggia just scored a lovely one, didn't he?
He did. He still got that turn of pace.
Has he really, yeah?
Yeah, it's a week kind of nipped in, you know.
Yeah.
It's a funny one, isn't it? But get yourself down Wembley FC.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like this sort of marketing-led...
No.
I'm going to use the word wank, but usually. But then you're seeing Claudio Caniggia play football, so it's like...
It is a tricky one. Do you like it or do you not? And LTL's back in work.
Yeah, brilliant. You'll start singing again soon.
Let's go to the SPL. One of the big stories of the summer, without a doubt, was that Rangers have dropped down to the third tier of Scottish football... or the Scottish Third Division rather, and the Rangers Newcastle, Glasgow Rangers effectively went out of business.
Yeah.
Mental. Which is crazy.
Yeah.
So Rangers Newcastle, I mean, it is pretty much the same club and all the rest of it, but they're all the way down there. I think they were playing Peterhead, weren't they?
Peterhead.
Aye. Yeah. So well, it'll only be a two horse race in the SPL this year.
Yeah.
Come on, Celtic, let me have it.
And who else?
And the magnificent Yorkie boys. The drop points, though, away to Hibs in the big one.
What an opener. What a season opener.
Well, actually, that wasn't the first game of the season. That was the second week. But yeah, so early on, the Edinburgh Derby. Is that to try and distract people of the Rangers?
I like how we're forced to talk about Scotland this week, and you know, it's due to the fact that Rangers have gone out of business.
And Marcus, what Europa League team are quaking in their boots?
Liverpool.
Yeah,
it's like a bye, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. I'm sorry, Liverpool, but if you were looking forward to European football this season, then you'll have to wait for another year.
Well, I think they've got a real chance.
Hartlepool Liverpool.
I think they've got a real chance.
Yeah, Rodgers hasn't got his game sorted.
Alternatively, Hearts will just win.
Very true. Yeah, so keep an eye on the SPL. It's all going to go off up there because Hearts are real contenders now. Rangers are out of the way.
Yeah.
Or do we see Celtic wrapping it up by November?
Yeah.
I think there are all bets are off for kind of a January.
I was thinking it'd be really interesting if they draw each other in the cup. That'd be great.
Who, Rangers Celtic?
Yeah. Make it happen, organisers, like you do all the other things.
That's it. The warm ball, that's always Rangers. Yeah. Whoever's doing the draw this year. France, yeah. Ligue 1,
yeah.
with Paris Saint-Germain, again, one of the stories of the summer,
yeah.
Was the big man, Zlatan Ibrahimovic. And not only Zlatan, we had Lavezzi going, of course, and Thiago Silva. Three massive signings for the French club.
Yeah, it was really surprising that they managed to get a hold, because they've signed Lucas Moura as well, haven't they?
So they are under Man United's notice.
Yeah, but he doesn't go till January, but they get him. Okay. They offered him so much money.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's how they're getting these players. Are they like, what's Zlatan on?
He's like 14 million euros a season or something. Obscene.
I think that might even be after tax as well.
France's socialist government are just like, what? Yeah. You voted us in and now this.
they're saying that at the same time, but if you think of the tax revenues being raised by PSG, they're probably quite happy about it. So much money coming
in.
Yeah,
but there'll be ways around.
But Zlatan already bailed him out, didn't he? I thought he was going to walk off the pitch and go, you're welcome, everyone. No problem.
Well, they were 2-0 down in their first game at home to Lorient. But what I would say is that Zlatan missed a couple of good chances. Mm-hmm. Hit the post with a volley from very close out and a header.
But how many did he score?
Two.
You're welcome.
Well, you're not going to be finding me complaining about the big man. But
well, one thing I would say is that this sort of experiment obviously doesn't always work with massive amount of money and loads of players coming in. But the one thing they've got going for them is they've got Ancelotti, who's
yes.
a huge experienced manager, knows how to win things.
Knows how to win things with like big players as well.
I think that yeah, exactly. And he can manage egos, things like that. He's done it all as a player and a manager.
This will test you.
Yeah, it will test you, exactly. Yeah. But it'll be interesting to see how they get on. I think they'll win the league easily. But
they have to.
But what should they do in the Champions League?
That is the question. I think Champions League, I think they'll do okay. I think it might just come. You look at City last season, I think it'd be the same thing. They did all right, they didn't get through the first round.
But Mancini's record in the Champions League as a manager is not very good, though.
It isn't very good, but Man City, their priority last season was to win the league. Obviously, it's win the league every season, but it was kind of like, right, we've got to win the league. Got to win the league, and that's what Paris Saint-Germain have got to do, because it'll just take the pressure off, because there'll be huge pressure on them.
Yeah.
And we've seen earlier already, Lorient going 2-0 up. What was that all about? You know, Maxwell, the fullback, scoring an own goal. You know,
apparently that's part of the reason Ibra went there, because he's really good friends with Maxwell, apparently.
Is that right? And he could be closer to London.
Exactly.
To the ramble.
Exactly.
It will be very interesting. Thiago Silva's a great signing as well.
Well, he's just the world's best defender.
I love Zlatan's press conference. He was promising trophies. He was just like, well, when I leave here, whenever that'll be, you know, I know I'll leave silverware behind me and all this. He's promising the world. And it's
Does he mean like cutlery that he's bought with his massive weight?
Well, that's his bailout, isn't it? If it doesn't quite happen.
Because he said that in the press conference, I haven't really heard much about them, but they've definitely heard of me, didn't they?
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting. But, I mean, is it a shame to see him in not one of the top three leagues in Europe?
But how do those leagues become the top leagues? They've got to get players, haven't they? So I suppose it's one of those things. The amount of players Milan have lost, though, is crazy, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
They've lost so many. I mean, I was surprised that there wasn't widespread mutiny when Thiago Silva and Zlatan went as well, because
they have a lot of money problems, though.
Yeah, I know, yeah. They've got to raise funds and stuff, but yeah.
Yeah. So indeed. Well, let's go briefly to China, because that's a league that's trying to crank up the pressure on their other or the other leagues surrounding it, which I imagine would be too hard. Didier Drogba has gone there with Nicolas Anelka at Shanghai Shenhua.
Yeah.
What a strike force for the Chinese league.
Bloody hell.
Imagine that. Yakubu went there a couple of months ago, of course. And Seydou Keita from Barcelona has gone there. He joined Chinese side Dalian Erbin. And he links up with Peter Utaka, John's brother.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There's Rockenbach there as well.
Yeah, formerly of Middlesbrough.
Yeah.
and there's talks of El Diego going over there and having a chat to some Chinese officials about becoming a manager.
If
there.
The money's right.
Could that be then?
Yeah.
No. Champagne communism.
Well, yeah, exactly. Before we get to international football, we've got to talk briefly about Argentinian football, where River Plate have been promoted back into the big leagues. Another one of the big stories over the summer. And David Trezeguet playing his part there. He went back there to set out to do that, and he has done that, which is great to see. Although I think they lost their opening game, though.
Okay.
And then Juan Román Riquelme looks as though he's finished playing as well.
But there was talk that he said that, because obviously he left Boca, and he said, oh, I'm not up to it anymore, sort of thing.
Yeah, I've nothing left to give.
But then there's rumours of a move to Santos or to some Brazilian club.
I tell you what, if go to China.
Yeah.
They'll pay him a fortune. He won't have to do anything. Much to get it. You have to do even less than what you normally
do. The spirit of football, then.
Oh, dear. Anyway, let's move on to international football before we get to some correspondence. And England have picked a young squad of Frank Lampard to play Italy.
I just can't bring myself to care about this, can you?
Really?
Nah. It's just these sort of start of the season friendlies just seem so odd to me.
Yeah.
The only saving grace for this is it's being played at the Wankdorf Stadium.
Yeah, that's a good one, isn't it?
So, yeah.
Yeah,
it's a bit of a schlep for a lot of players leaving there.
Well, all you do is you just get players pulling out the squads and stuff. It happens all over the place.
Well, luckily the chairman's pulled out, isn't
he? Yeah.
Of course, other international football news is that Russia have got Fabio Capello involved.
Yes.
I did like the Russian sports minister, Vitaly Mutko, who said, Capello has all the necessary requirements, but personally I would have preferred Jose Mourinho.
Cheers. Anyway, welcome. Coffee machine's over there.
Stay out of my sight.
Every time he does something, oh, Jose wouldn't have done that. I'm just sending the facts. Well, he doesn't do it. Jose doesn't do it like that.
Oh dear. Was there any other news in international football over the summer? No disgraced former FIFA presidents getting involved in the headlines?
150-year-old João Havelange. João Havelange, ex-FIFA president, is officially 96 years old.
And he was finally revealed to be the crook we all kind of knew he was.
But I refuse to believe. I know it sounds like almost like a contradiction in terms that he looks young for 96, right? Because 96 is really old.
Yeah.
But I reckon he's about 120.
Yeah.
When you get to that level of sort of money, it's like, it's all swan's blood and monkey tears, isn't it? You know? he's having like orangutans or embryos on toast to preserve his life.
Well, disgrace is his after the millions he received in bribes was brought to light. Although Sepp knew about all this and did nothing. He said, like, back then it was all right to do it in the 90s.
Love that Carbonara song.
Ricardo Teixeira was involved as well.
But didn't Blatter say you can't judge those things on today's morals? It was the 90s.
Today's
You're not
morals.
Talking about like colonial Britain.
Otherwise,
about the New Testament.
Otherwise, it would end up with moral justice.
Oh, that's no one wants that.
No. No.
What do we want? Not moral justice.
Yeah, well,
that's for sure.
New FIFA ruling, new moral justice.
What do we want? Moral injustice. Of course, the Swiss prosecutor described these payments as bribery payments, and FIFA did all they could to stop the prosecutions happening. Didn't he get stripped of his FIFA life presidency?
Talk of that.
And then
he's
many,
96 though.
Many people want the Avalanche Stadium in Rio to be renamed. So have that.
Yeah.
Okay. And I hope the next few years of your life are.
You can't really do anything to Avalanche because he's so old.
Yeah, that's
he's
trouble.
Got. He's effectively got away with it, hasn't he?
See you in hell.
But by the sort of the rationale of how many years they live, you can catch Sepp now. Because he'll live for another 50 years or whatever. So at least you can...
When Havelange is in hell with Arsene Wenger, he'll be having a much worse time of it, though. So, you know.
Yeah. Not used to that kind of thing. Oh, dear. Right, ladies and gentlemen, it's a new season. It's a new era. So we're going to mix up the old tired format. Pete, have you got a new game for us to get our teeth into?
Yes, I have. That's definitely not going for goal old.
Okay. I'm looking forward to this, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, in honour of Drogba going to Shanghai Shenhua,
yeah,
I bring you this. It's £1 million drug, people.
Okay. Well.
£1 million drug.
Right, okay. Cool. Are you ready to play £1 million drug?
How do we play?
I was going to say.
Can I have a yes from both of you?
Yes. Yes.
It will become apparent. Who am I?
Pink Donaldson.
My father, Matty, was a Finnish international.
Sounds rather a lot like going for gold.
No, play the game.
Okay. What was the clue?
My father, Matty, was a Finnish international.
Stop. Jari Litmanen.
No. My middle name is Petiri.
Stop.
Stop.
Sammy Hippia.
No.
I'm going to go for the third and final Finnish player.
Go on.
Miksi Patalainen.
You have £1 million drug.
Oh, yes! No!
What do I win?
That's it.
You have £1 million drug. You get the point. You win.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
Miksi Patalainen. Winning.
God, a bit of deja vu, but I'll take it.
Yeah. I was going to go Anthony Naimi. If you haven't got that one.
Anthony Naimi.
Antonio.
The other clues. I'm the eldest of three brothers, all of whom have played professional soccer. My father, Matty, was a Finnish international. I was mentioned on the TV show Phoenix Knights. I helped a club get promoted from the English First Division in 94-95. My last job in Great Britain was at St Mirren at Bolton in the league. I scored 15 goals in 69 appearances.
Make sure you pat alone, ladies and gentlemen.
There you go. That was £1 million drug.
Look forward to a new game next week, right?
Yes.
Okay, good.
The game next week will not be £1 million drug.
No.
And it will be completely different to going for gold and £1 million drug.
Good.
Excellent news.
Right.
And now it's time for some correspondence. Right, we're going to be doing tweets and emails this season, you lucky men and girls. I've got one here from Mark McKeegan, who says, can we have a word for Barry Davis and his commentary stint throughout the Olympics? We certainly can, Mark.
Yeah, it was excellent. And it was one of those things that it was just like, come on, get him back.
There's really no need. It was Pierce was doing the football, wasn't he?
It was, and the punditry as well wasn't that great either. It was pretty much tired, same old stuff.
Barry Davis and the hockey.
Oh, it's superb, yeah.
What a contrast to the previous penalty corner.
We also did one with the, there was the female hockey was at one point Holland versus New Zealand. They went to one of those penalty shootouts they do where they dribble the ball for a bit.
Yeah.
And it was very similar to what a contrast to the previous penalty.
Is that right?
When he went, someone smashed it from early on and the next goal took it around the keeper and he went, different tactic, usually effective.
I love that.
Oh, God bless you, Barry.
And you know, Gary Lineker must be knackered. Euros.
I'll tell you who was genuinely knackered, Mark Chapman. Did you hear him by the end of the Five Live stuff? He's so croaky. He can hardly speak. He knows it so much.
There's a tweet here from Charles Tilley who says, if you had to compete in an Olympic event, what would it be, Pete?
I think in the 1920s there was this event where two men would have revolvers and masks and they'd shoot wax bullets at each other for seemingly no reason. There were some really creative sort of non-competitive sports as well, like landscaping and stuff.
I feel like I should speak on behalf of the
IOC.
can this be true?
The IOC.
I'm almost certain that that was the case.
But it's not anymore.
If I'm wrong, if I dreamt it, I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. But shooting wax bullets at men.
How can I follow that?
Yeah, go on.
I was just going to say, I really enjoyed the handball.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the handball. But then I worried that I really wanted to get into it because I like jumping up in the air and I think I'd be quite good in goal as well. Because I'm good at star jumps.
The goalie keeper is a thankless task in handball. You just get battered.
May as well not be there.
Yeah. I like jumping up in the air.
But I fear that my hands are too small for the ball.
Do you know that, obviously you know this, Pete, because you were involved at some stage, but at each of the venues there was a sort of master of ceremonies between the games and stuff.
Right.
And I was caught for the volleyball. Mm. And so in between the sets and in between the games, this guy would come out on the big screen and he'd start chatting away and he'd basically try and whip the crowd up.
The guy at the basketball was pretty good.
This guy I was caught, I don't know who it was.
Guy at Hyde Park was shit.
That was you.
So I hear.
That was me.
This guy I was caught, he started off okay, he was doing Mexican waves, the usual sort of touristy stuff you'd expect him to do. But he massively ran out of steam, right? So after the second set in the second match, so we'd been there a few hours probably.
Yeah.
And it's obviously, it's a hard job, but I promise you this is true. Rather than do what he'd been doing before, he just completely blanked, and he was on camera on the big screen, and I promise you, he just went, anyone here know the words to Robbie Williams' Angels? And just started singing it. Everyone started singing it.
Oh, fair enough.
So I went out and watched Bradley Wiggins and the Time Trial on the big screen. Because I was like, what is happening here?
You missed upon a good sing song there.
Yeah, well, such is life.
Final tweet is from Mike Horrocks, who says, I think we'd all appreciate an update on Pete's pianos.
One piano down, it has gone to the recipient, and I still have one in my house, so yeah.
Why did you sell it? You didn't need it.
I didn't sell it. I bought the pianos for someone else.
Oh, okay, right. That's an interesting twist.
Yeah.
In the saga.
He's a piano pusher now.
Yeah.
A generous piano pusher.
Pete the fence. Pete the piano fence.
So, yeah, if someone does want to buy a Yamaha 1980s Clavinova with stand and pedals.
Which has been used by Pete
Which
Donaldson.
Has been used by Pete Donaldson.
We actually did one of the jingles on it, didn't we? Once.
We did, yes. Yeah. Yes, we did. That is available, if you can pick up from North London. I ain't taking it anywhere, that's
just,
for sure.
Just to be clear.
Unless it's the tip.
We absolutely will not be giving the money to charity.
The charity of my back. It's my chiropractor after lifting it up the bloody stairs. We're not quite finished the tweets quite yet, though, Marcus, because just because you were late, me and Lukey Moore were having a look on the internet and that.
Oh,
and basically,
what's happening here then?
Ben White, S.O. God, who's a curious tweeter, isn't he? I don't know whether any of you follow him. We may mine his tweets for a later episode, but we're going to go for kind of like Benoit Assou-Ekotto's Riddle Me This.
Right.
This was today's effort. With a nap, the day is not long enough. I make a dream as we signed a big striker. Very good, who scored many goals, but it was, full stop, a dream. LOL.
Is he this season's Sammy Amiobi?
I think so. Sammy Amiobi busted out some beauties there. He did. So maybe we'll revisit that. Shall we have one more just for
yeah.
now?
Yeah.
Very hot in Valencia before the game around 10 p.m. I have a lazy day. Eat, sleep, eat, sleep. LOL. What a programme, LOL. That is Benoit Assou-Ekotto's Riddle Me This in association with Tresemme. All right. So.
Excellent.
I think it might be linked up to his brain and there's no filter. just churns it out like a spam bot.
Yeah.
Blimey O'Reilly. Well, don't forget you can tweet us using the Football Ramble hashtag and we'll read out the best ones. Yeah.
Yeah.
And get your emails in as well.
Yes.
Yeah, indeed. Right, ladies and gentlemen, it's the first profile for bloody ages. It's it's going to be a big one. It's Raul.
Yeah.
Come on, Raul.
He's scored some goals, hasn't he?
Gonzalez Blanco. Even has white in his name, because he was a big favourite with the whites of Madrid.
Raul Madrid, more like.
Damn right, Petey. A footballing great from the modern era. And really is as well.
Yeah.
Like, just unbelievable. Sorry, too many superlatives came into my brain.
Post-Ronaldo, pre-Ronaldo.
You're damn right, you're damn right. He was born on the 27th of June, 1977.
10 years after the Summer of Love.
10 years after them. Synonymous with Real Madrid.
Mm. Synonymous with putting the ball in the back of the net.
You're damn right. He, of course, is from the city. His dad was an Atletico Madrid fan.
He was at Atletico Madrid, wasn't he?
He was, yeah. And Atletico Madrid had to disband their youth academy due to money troubles.
Because Jesus Gil's mental, basically.
It's not got much better, has it?
Yeah. And so he left and went to play for Real Madrid. I think it was the C team. He eventually ended up playing for. They have CB and, of course, the A team. Although you don't call them the A team, it's the first team. And he made his way through the ranks, but quite quickly he started playing for the C team in his teens and scored 13 goals in 7 games. And they thought, hang on a minute here. So Jorge Valdano famously fast-tracked him into the first team. He became Real Madrid's youngest ever player at 17, although that record wouldn't last too long. And hit the ground running, I think it's fair to say.
Absolutely.
Like a duck to water. It went on to become Mr. Madrid. Icon, hero, goal scorer, ambassador.
Yeah.
I would say saviour, but probably not. But he would cement his place with all the other all-time greats at the club, and there's been a few. Much of it, when he first started playing for the side in the mid-90s, much was made of him taking over from another Madrid great Emilio Butragueno, who finished playing for Madrid in 95.
The Vulture.
And in his first season at Madrid, he helped them win the league and scoring in his first Madrid derby, which is always going to please fans. But one of his first strike partners was Ivan Zamorano, and he had a few other good ones as well while he was there.
Oh, let's just all stop and think about Raul and Zamorano up front together. That's amazing.
There's a lovely shot of those two taken on Pep Guardiola. It's a lovely
picture.
Bet there
is, yeah.
But he wasn't a sort of an out-and-out striker, was he, Raul?
He's a very rounded forward. He's scored an incredible amount of goals, score every type of goal as well. But yeah, he could link up well, definitely.
And he was one of those players who looked like an experienced senior player playing in a young man's body.
Oh, absolutely. Very calm on the ball. Didn't let anything get to him. He hit, as you said, he hit the ground running straight away.
But you know, like when Ryan Giggs became, when he was 21 or something, you looked to him as an experienced player. He wasn't a young player anymore. Mm. And then you had to remind yourself, bloody, he was only 21. That was like Raul, because he obviously starts young at 17.
Yeah.
But even then, like he was a man, you know. Mm. And it was absolutely phenomenal. And then, of course, he would start being a regular for Real Madrid, would play some fantastic stuff. And his first World Cup was with Spain in 98, and scored a lovely volley against Nigeria, I think it was, in the group stage. Close range, beautiful side foot. But Spain went out in the first round. And it's funny with his international career, because now, of course, Spain are the best team in the world. But he was kind of pre that. We'll talk about that perhaps a little bit later. And in Euro 2000, he missed a penalty at the end of the match against France in the quarterfinals. They went out 2-1. But at this time, though, in around the sort of 2000 mark, if we fast forward a couple of years from the mid-90s, he played in the team which featured the Galacticos, the Zidanes, Figos, Carlos, Ronaldo, and then later Beckham.
Well, he was the homegrown Galactico, wasn't he, basically?
Yeah. And he held his own. He fought off some competition from Michael Owen. And it's funny, isn't it, when you think of Brazilian Ronaldo and then what he became, and then Michael Owen, who's still only sort of 32 and was out of the club. Raul just gone from strength to strength.
Yeah,
and he could have been a bit sulky, with some of them players coming in. He could have lost his head, gone, "I'm going elsewhere." Or
well, a lesson to Michael Owen, then, isn't it?
I think it was a big ego row, but I think his commitment to the cause was never really doubted. I mean, he's only 35 now, isn't he?
Yeah, that's right. But he's always been called a gentleman, off the field, and people, seem to like him playing on with the number 7 on his back.
Yeah.
Because when Beckham turned up, they were like, you can't have the 7. Yeah. He's like, well, don't worry about it.
Well, look at with the Schalke, 2 seasons, and I'm moving forward a little bit, 2 seasons, and they retired the jerseys.
Yeah, indeed.
It's a bit much, isn't
it? I think that's a bit much.
Yeah.
he clearly can get the club on side, surely.
Yeah. But just so many great memories. I mean, many great performances in the Champions League as well.
Oh, of course. He scored in 2 Champions League finals.
The first player to do so.
Yeah. 2000 against Valencia, 2002 versus Leverkusen.
That's right, yeah. And on the way to 2000, I can remember when they turned up at Old Trafford and they beat Manchester United 3-2, I think it was, in, I think, quarterfinals. And he scored 2 goals, and the first one, it was just pure class, like a bit of a curler into the corner.
Yeah.
And and he's that type of player where you just think, why do England not produce these types?
Yeah.
Like, so good. And then Fernando Redondo, remember that little move?
Oh, yeah.
That little, sort of, he back-heeled it through somebody's legs, and then Raul was on the end of it, But just a real classy, quality player. Mm. And he loved the Champions League as well. Like, three Champions League winners' medals. And the Champions League's top scorer of all time was 71 goals.
He loved the chip.
Oh, he did love a chip.
I think he scored more chips than Emil Heskey scored goals.
It's a fair shell.
I think that might be a fact. It's got to be.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah. Well, think about it. He's a top scorer in Champions League with 71 goals. And it's funny, actually, because he only won the top scorer for the Champions League in Champions League campaigns twice, which shows you just how many times he played in the competition. And he's the only player to have scored in 14 consecutive Champions League seasons. Some stats on him at Real Madrid. Played for Real Madrid for 16 years, and one of the best teams in the world throughout that time. He's Madrid's record appearance holder with 741 appearances. Madrid's top scorer in all competitions with 323 goals. Madrid's Madrid's top scorer in La Liga with 228, and he's only second behind Hugo Sanchez of the all-time in La Liga's history, or if Spain's history is third, but La Liga's history is second. And only Zubi Zureta has played more games than him in La Liga. I mean, it just stick that in your fat pipe and smoke it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, you do forget sometimes just how big a player Raul was, because he didn't perhaps set a tournament alight, an international tournament alight.
Well, he was lent on an awful lot for Spain. He was very much the guy they looked at all the time.
Well, he was the talisman, you know.
Yeah.
And then later,
it was kind of pity that like Villa and maybe even Torres came in when they came, you know what I mean, and to kind of chuck him out of a team that he could have gone on to continue to play for.
Well, it's a funny one because he's got over 100 caps, but I'm pretty sure he's not played since 2006. So he effectively retired from international football at the age of 29.
Or maybe 07, was it?
No, his last game, I think, was the end of 06. It's they lost to Northern Ireland.
Northern Ireland, yeah.
Yeah, but his last game in tournament football would have been...
Oh, tournament football, World Cup 2006.
When they got beat by France, and he was subbed off. Mm. And he looked so dejected. And I think he'd been quite poor for Spain for a while, actually.
It was 44 international goals.
102 caps, I think.
Yeah.
But it was a brave move of Aragonés to get rid of him, really. But
he was kind of like the sacrifice, wasn't he? For
But he's been proven right, obviously.
Of course, yeah. I mean, it does feel a bit weird, though, to think that Raul was the sacrifice, because, as you say, they lent on him so much.
Yeah.
2002, going back a couple of years, you know, that was really the time when Spain, pre all this success now, we're going to do something at a tournament, and they got put out in slightly mysterious fashion against South Korea.
Yeah, that was strange. Yeah.
You know, but he was in that tournament, and 04 was disappointing, and 06 knocked out by the French again.
On their way to the final, of course.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, 6 league titles and 3 Champions Leagues at Madrid. Never won the Copa del Rey, famously. 2 Pachichi Awards, which is, of course, the top scorer in Spain. But yeah, I think that when you think of Real Madrid, yeah, you do think of Raul, but you do think of a lot of the Galacticos, you know, Zidane, Figo, Ronaldo in particular, and some of the other big players. But I don't know, like maybe one or two people slightly forget Raul, do you think?
I think, I mean, that was the era when they were obviously signing big names, but he held his own amongst those things. I mean, the amount of goals he scored with Figo whipping him in from the right, a deft finish. When he left Real Madrid, Ferguson famously wanted him, didn't he?
That's right.
He came out and said he wanted him, but again, to mention Michael Owen, they signed Michael Owen instead. They wanted an experienced striker, and they took Michael Owen.
His last goal... he was about to be subbed off because he was injured, but he just got in the right place at the right time and just slotted one off.
That was his last touch for Real Madrid, wasn't it?
It's easy when you know how, isn't it?
That's right, yeah. And then, of course, he moved to Schalke. He'd lived in Madrid all his life, and it was the first time he'd moved away from Madrid. Mm. It was quite incredible, and went to play for Schalke 04, 36 goals and 86 appearances. And I don't think he realised just how much he would take to another club at such a late stage in his career, and just how much they'd love him.
He scored goals, and he scored good quality goals as well.
And you know, I mean, him and Huntelaar up front is great.
It's irresistible, that. It's
yeah, but I mean, they won their first piece of silverware for a few years with the German Cup, and reached the last four of the Champions League. I mean, he was great for them. Yeah. He really was. And they were great for each other. It was the perfect club to go to. Because I remember a few people, myself included, thought, oh, it's an interesting one, you know. But, you know, qualifying for the Champions League when he left, you know, I think they finished third. Just fantastic. Like almost like a fairy tale ending in a weird sense, but not...
Well, it was those performances that kind of buoyed the German Bundesliga into, you know, people's consciousness again, I think, to a certain extent.
And then, you know, last May in 2012, he went to Qatari side, Al Sadd.
And that made me all sad. Because he's still got a lot to offer.
He does,
I don't begrudge him. He's earned the right to go and earn a packet. But, I mean, he's surely not, you know, wanting financially.
Yeah, but he'll be back at Madrid, surely, in some capacity.
Well, if you think about it, though, I mean, was there not talk...
Player manager.
Was there not talk when he was at Schalke having that renaissance, getting back in that international setup?
Really?
Because Villa got injured... No, give him a nod. Get him in there. Yeah, okay, it was only me saying that, but I stand by it.
Did you see when him and Casillas, I do remember this, like, massively, him and Casillas both got given contracts for life.
Oh, that's right.
But it was with Real, but it was the stipulation that, that you had to play 30 games a season to get this contract for life. He's like going... Yeah, but I mean...
that's not going to happen, is it?
Because it's like, we've given him a contract for life, all the journalists' hands shoot up, thinking, what, 45 playing? But he has to play 30 games. Oh, yeah.
Remember when Totti was given, like, a 10-year contract at Roma?
Yeah.
And it was like...
When he was, like, 29.
The last 6 or 7 years is going to be, like, as a director or something.
Raul, absolutely magnificent, you know. And
how many goals did he get for Real Madrid? That's what I want to know.
He got 323.
brilliant.
Yeah, which is, as I said, you know, top scorer in all competitions. And like, I'm just racking my brains now to think, but there's so many good ones. I think, who was that again? You know,
I remember one that sticks in the mind was the one he scored, I think, against Espanyol. Lovely snapshot left footed volley from just outside the area,
yeah,
into the top corner.
Loved the volley.
Oh yeah, loved all sorts of goals. Mm. Loved the chip as well. Yeah, loved to lift it over the keeper.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
classy. And I love what Xabi Alonso said about him. Just quite simply, he said, "Raul represents the values of Real Madrid. He is a symbol and a part of this club's history. It isn't easy to play for Real Madrid for 16 years, but he did because he is a magnificent player."
Good stuff.
And comes Raul to the Leemendaats Hall of Fame.
He was made a Goodwill Ambassador of the United Nations. Do you want to hear who else has got that particular honour?
Far away.
Roberto Baggio.
Mm.
Patrick Vieira.
Uh-huh.
Mm. Celine Dion and Ron Keating.
Yeah. He's in good company.
Magnificent company.
Yeah. What a band that would be.
Hey.
Hey.
Life's a roller coaster. Now, if you want to get in touch with us, the email address is show@thefootballramble.com. The Twitter is @footballramble. And the website is thefootballramble.com.
Loads of good stuff on there. Today, what have I put on there today? Pele and Diego Maradona doing keep you up.
Oh, that's amazing.
Head tennis, yeah.
But they're like hugging each other. They're mates.
I think it might be a sort of a marketing ploy.
Yeah, but it was obviously a good few years ago as well.
Oh, it was, yeah, yeah.
But it's strange, though, isn't it, to see them all chubby?
Did you get that text message that I texted you of Pele in the front of, I think, Intersports on Carnaby Street? And it's the most Photoshop picture of Pele I think I've ever seen.
He looks about 25.
Yeah. See him hobbling out of the closing ceremony. Yeah. Opening ceremony.
Mm. Yeah, sure did, yeah. And what else have I put on there? Oh, Luis Sal's horrific assault on the referee, Benfica, versus Fortuna Dusseldorf.
The worst penalty in the world.
Yeah, the worst penalty in the world. That's got to be checked out. Thefootballramble.com. Check it out there. Mm. And also, nice, well-written, in-depth articles on football from around the world.
Absolutely.
All sorts of stuff, yeah.
All sorts of stuff. Say goodbye, Pete.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
And it's goodbye from me. Nice to have you back.
Cheers.
Well, go on then. A quick prediction. Who do you think is going to win the league, Pete?
I think it'd be 20 goals. What? Hello?
20 goals.
Let's make it very clear that I quartered instead of halved. All right. Yeah. So, you know.
Still sort of your fault, though, isn't it?
I was going to say, I'm
not saying I should have done that. No. But, yeah.
Because that would be mental.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.